Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and thank you for tuning in to our Thursday night programming of Totally Driven Radio. Heh, but why wouldn't you tune into the greatest show heard all around the world?
Today, Totally Driven Radio, a little special edition for you. I got a couple interviews that I had already taped, so I figured I'd run a little special episode tonight and, you know, get those interviews out there with everybody. So I got two musical artists for you. I got one Canadian country singer, Jim Lovat, and the other returning guest, a good friend of ours, Mike Campese, extraordinary, super talented guitarist. Both have new music out. So I figured I'd play some interviews, some music, and also, too, commercials, because I got to pay the bills. So, actually, let's take our first commercial break. 3 minutes. That's all I ask is 3 minutes. We'll be right back, and we're going to play the Mike Campese interview. Stay tuned.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your ghoul friend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, welcome back. Told you radio. Told you it was only 3 minutes. All right, I got to sit down and talk with Mike Campese the other day. He's got a new album out. It's called Chapters. And it was really fun talking to Mike again. And he's got a real personal album out, and he's going to explain why it's personal and the reasoning behind it. And it's really a cool thing. Not a cool thing. It was kind of a tragic thing, but it's a meaningful you know what? I'm just going to shut up. I'm going to let Mike explain it. How about that? Because he explains it a lot better than me. So without further ado, here he is, guitarist Mike Campese. Mike.
Hey, what's up, man?
Long time man. Welcome back. Yeah,
no,
how you been?
It's glad to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, man.
Yeah.
And,
go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, it's great to have you back, and especially with some new music.
Oh, yeah. The new album just recently came out, and I'm not sure if you heard it yet. I don't know if you heard any tracks off. It's different. It's mostly acoustic. It's like 80-20. 80% acoustic, 20% electric.
I was watching like a lot of your you did like a lot of YouTube videos this time around, talking about it and promoting it and all. And I was why the big change in going mostly acoustic?
It's not a change. I do both. Like this is my second acoustic album. The first album is called Hidden Treasures, which basically was a little while back, and I'm due for another acoustic album because I like both. I'm more of electric guitar. Because I like the energy of electric guitar and distortion and stuff like that. But the other side of my playing is acoustic. So a while back, I used to put the acoustic tracks with electric and mix them all together. But
okay.
I've been, since Hidden Treasures, I've been just keep it like that. That album is all acoustic. This one has got both on it. It's got electric guitar and acoustic mixed together just because I love this, you know, love distortion. And I was like, hey, I gotta put some electric guitar in there, but
yeah.
I didn't keep it all distorted this time around. But I'm definitely most of my live show is electric guitar, and if we're playing a long evening, I'll throw in a segment of acoustic in the middle. Something I like to do in between, because you know basically. For me, the fully express yourself acoustic guitar is great, but it doesn't fully express. For what I do, like, you know, I'm coming from the rock kind of background, and I like the high energy of electric guitar and all that.
Sure.
Goes around it. But the acoustic is just a nice, just kind of breaks up the evening, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I love acoustic stuff, and I think exactly the way you were saying, like, sprinkling that electric into it just emphasizes the acoustic even more.
Yeah, especially live. I mean, on the album, it's mainly geared toward acoustic guitar. That's why the cover you see, I'm holding the Ovation. I'm holding it up in the air. Then they have the other electric guitar on my lap, too, so I have both. So I kind of incorporate both of them. I'm not sure from the picture people can kind of get that, but that's basically how it was kind of portrayed, to have, like, both in the picture. So it's kind of like, you know, a little bit of both.
Nice. I was going to say, the new album, it's called Chapters.
Chapters.
And it's out now. And
yes.
I was wondering, like, which I liked it, the title, and I was wondering, like, did you almost, like, picture it with each song as, like, a different chapter to a book almost?
It can be like that, but basically I did this tour of Italy about close to almost 3 years now, and when I was there, I went to different cities, went to many cities in Italy. In each city, I gathered ideas of, like, you know, of inspiration. When you visit new places, you don't even get ideas. So I record them on my phone. Like, I get the ideas, so I don't forget it. So I have phone has like thousands of voice memos on there, and so basically I put the ideas in different cities. Basically, you go to a different city in your hotel and you pick up your guitar and the stuff just comes to you, you know, because of your new location. Or just, that's how I like to keep like write like that way is probably the best way for me to write, the most inspirational. That's what I did. Then I got back. Then I kind of, you know, I in between stuff that I do, like other things I do, I, you know, put the songs together. And so that's basically a lot of the album is from Italy, written in Italy. But there's some, you know, I go to Hawaii. I try to go at least once a year. And I write a lot there, too. So I've written a lot of songs over there. So a few of the songs in this album were written in Hawaii as well. So, like, there's actual waterfalls from Hawaii in the background. There's birds. I record stuff on my phone. So it's like, you know, it just it has the all the full environment. And there's, you know, ocean and waterfalls. And just, to me, it's like, I get most of my ideas when I'm visiting new places.
Now, when you're doing that, like, as you were saying, like, you record, like, ideas on your phone and all, like, do you say, like, where you are and, like, what the environment is around you to kind of, like, get a picture, like, when you go back to you know, go through your ideas?
Well, in the actual phone, I can label, like, you know, Parma. I actually labeled it as cities. I didn't name the titles yet. I just basically put, like, Rome idea. Rome idea 1 and 2. You know what I mean? Like, and I had a whole bunch of these, and I just basically got the titles from, based, you know, from maybe, like, the locations. Like, one is Rome in the Colosseum. So one.
Yeah, I like that title.
I visited we went to the Colosseum, and got pictures inside the Colosseum, which is actually the artwork of the CD is right from Italy. Like, basically, like, the cover, not the cover, but inside the cover, there's a back cover, picture me in the Colosseum. And the actual disc itself is in Parma. There's a cathedral that has been hand-painted, I don't know, like, hundreds of years ago. And that's the actual ceiling of that cathedral. Because in Italy, like, they have amazing paintings, like, on these cathedrals, and the ceilings are just, like, hand-painted. And, like, people get up in huge scaffolds and like, devote their time to like paint all these amazing pictures, and it's like you just like stare at the ceiling, and there's all this. I have so many great pictures of that, and I decided to use it for the actual album cover, I mean, the album disc itself. So basically, so yeah, the titles are like kind of reflected on the area I was in, and like, you know, the different vibes in the city, like Treviso skies. It's kind of like, it's up by Venice area, and it's kind of like a, it's more of a gloomy kind of like the, not say gloomy, but it's a kind of farm kind of land up that way, and like, just the way the skies were, it was kind of like, it was kind of cloudy kind of days when I was there, so it's kind of like, the way the skies looked, it was just a little different, so I played with the Treviso skies, and there was so many different, you know, inspirations from each city that just, you know, I visited my family in Calabria, and they're in a city called Cardinelli. So one of the songs is Cardinelli, things like that. So, yeah, that's basically, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, was this your first time in Italy?
Yeah, it was.
I was going to say, to turn around, I mean, it sounds like it really, you know, it to inspire like almost the whole album. It had to be pretty incredible experience.
I did a lot of traveling. I went from the north of Italy to the south of Italy to the middle of Italy, Florence, all those areas. Traveled all the way down to the bottom, and it was just a really good experience. And you know, I get inspiration like that. I've written songs like on the airplane, and did the whole entire song on my laptop. like it just not Italy, but just at other, you know, just other places, just like, you know, traveling, and you have your laptop there, and I usually, like, without the guitar, just, like, you know, write on, you know, on my music programs and stuff. And I mean, basically, guitar is a tool to put it down. I mean, but you get the ideas. I get a lot of ideas not playing guitar sometimes. It's like, you know, I just get a lot of ideas riding my bike, but I haven't ridden my bike in a long time, but I just get tons of ideas just, like, just, you know, just without the guitar a lot of times. Because basically, I think it's important for something that's writing music or anything to have, like, that kind of inspiration where it's, like, it just, you know, it's more flowing and just...
Right.
Things come to you when you're not forcing it out of you.
Sure.
But, you know, the thing is when you get the idea, then you got to put it all together. So that's, like, the next step. First the ideas, then you got to kind of, you know, finish the whole thing up. So that's basically... There's actually more... I have more ideas that I've recorded in Italy that aren't, like, finished up. But, like, for the album, like, I had a lot of tracks for it. So I capped that. I was going to only do 12... I was only going to do, like, 12 tracks on it, or 11 tracks on it. It was, like, 13. So basically, I just... I'm like, wow, this CD's getting... It's actually over an hour, and... It's been a couple of years since my last CD, so I figured I might as well just, you know, put a bunch of tracks on it. So I...
you get a chance to check it out.
What's that?
Definitely. Can't wait to. I said you just kept going. You had the musical juices flowing.
I take it back. There's actually 15 tracks. I meant to put 11 or 12, and then I got 15. I was like, it's hard to cut stuff. That's the toughest thing. It's like, you know, you have this vision of this album. It's like, oh, I gotta cut 3 songs. If I'm thinking about 11 tunes, it's like, I was like, well, it's been a couple of years since last CD, so I better give them a whole stack. Because people, you know, like, it's different. Actually, it's different these days. People don't listen to the whole entire album anymore like they used to. Like,
right.
People listen, like, they'll get one song, and they'll, you know, I like to listen to the whole album because it's basically, it doesn't really fit. If you just listen to one track, it doesn't really represent what I do off each album. If it's just, like, one track you've listened to. If it's the whole album, you see, oh, I can see where this person's kind of going with this music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of my earlier albums will have, like, a jazzy tune, then they'll have, like, a rock tune, then they'll have, like, blues tunes. So if somebody hears a blues tune, they're like, oh, there's a blues guy. But then you hear another track, it's like a shredding. So it's like, that's why I called the last one Chameleon, because a lot of my stuff moves around a lot.
Right.
Which is...
Now, on this one, too, didn't you sing for the first time, too?
Actually, no. I've sang over the years. I always sing on a few tracks. I'm not really a singer. I label myself as a guitarist that sings. Like, I'm not like, you know, I don't have an incredible voice. Like, I can't, like, you know, break glass with... But, you know, I'm not like an 80s singer. Like, I mean, I'm not like a singer. I'm more basically... you know, it's not talking, but just basically just... I'm more of a guitarist that sings, I label it. But I do sing on a few tracks in each one of the albums. Since my second album, the first album was all instrumental. The second album, I started singing a few tracks on it. So every album has a few singing vocal tracks on it. Sometimes I get a bad rap for it, but I don't know. I like instrumental music, but there's a more smaller market for it. It's just, I like songs with vocals too, you know, so it's...
Sure.
You know, it's like a project where, my own project where I, you know, I can sing on my own tracks. And I mean, people love it or hate it. Like, people like that thing, and some people don't like it. It's like, it goes either way. It's like, either like it or you hate it, basically. People that, like, want to hear, you know, I won't mention any names, but they want to hear an 80s singer scream so high, and they're going to hate it.
Yeah. Now, are you comfortable doing
it? I'm stereotyping. What's that?
Are you comfortable doing that?
I like singing live. I mean, I don't sing as much as I play guitar, but I do like having tracks with the vocals on them. It just opens up
this
different thing. You know what I mean? It's like all instrumental albums can get boring. It can get a little boring, but. To my taste, I grew up listening to, like, you know, Dio and Black Sabbath and those guys, Jimi Hendrix and stuff like that. So I like that stuff too. I like blues stuff. I like funk stuff. I like a lot of different genres of music, but I just basically write what I kind of feel, so I don't really think too much about, okay, now it's going to be a head metal track, and now it's going to be, you know, I just kind of whatever comes out, basically.
Cool.
But, yes, that's the deal with that.
Now, this album, too, I mean, from what I was reading it, I mean, it's got to be very personal as well, because wasn't, I think, the opening track... you lost some family members in an earthquake.
Oh, wow. You good research. Very good.
See that?
Yeah. it's called The Quake of L'Aviano. Years ago, it had to be 1980 or before that. I remember my grandmother, she's not with us anymore, but basically, I have my mom's side of the family is Naples area, which is like L'Aviano, Salerno, Italy, which is like the, you know, it's close to Naples, but it's kind of like, it's the same, it's in the region of Campania, which is the region of Italy. Years ago, my family was at a wedding, a cliffside wedding, and the earthquake hit, and it killed them because it's on top of a mountain. L'Aviano is on top of a mountain. So I lost a lot of my family members from the earthquake of L'Aviano. So that track, Quake of L'Aviano, is basically written for that, because I visit the area. I visit my mom's family and my dad's family in L'Aviano. But the date itself, I think it was 1980, but I think it was actually before that. I think I have to get the exact date. But that's, it's kind of tragic. And my grandma used to always talk about it. And you know, my family talks about it. And when the earthquake just hit recently, it was kind of like, oh, my God, it's like, it wasn't really like in L'Aviano, like when it hit again, but it was just, it kind of reminded me of that.
Sure.
That's basically... Yeah. Which is a tragedy. I mean, they're at a wedding and the earthquake, and it's on a cliffside wedding. And
It sounds like you didn't actually know those family members, but still, I mean,
no,
this family...
before my time. Like I was,
you're right.
Yeah, it might even happen before, way before I was born. I have to get the date because just to have the right date. And it was years ago, though, but.
Was it still kind of like an emotional thing for you to do, or?
No, I mean, it's definitely the back of my mind because it's like basically I was always heard it when I was a kid. I've always heard, like, you know, the earthquake, it wiped out a lot of your relatives, and so basically when I was writing the tune, I was thinking about it when I was writing it. If I was really, really close. You know, I mean, it's tragic to lose your relatives, but if I was really close to the people that I lost, it'd be probably, like, you know, much worse. But it was just something that I kind of grew up with hearing about. And
right.
I visited L'Aviano, and they were talking about it. I don't speak Italian, though, so you know, it was kind of tough for the translation. But it was like, When you go to visit the area, it's just like it's on top of this mountain, and you can kind of see like how it'd be like being on top of a mountain during an earthquake, and especially on a cliffside.
Sure,
so,
that's scary. Wow.
Yeah, but that's great that you looked into this.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to.
That's great.
Now you were doing guitar clinics over there?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're working on some more for this year. I'm just planning some stuff and just trying to get back over there again this year. We'll see. Hopefully. It's in the works. You been to Italy?
I've never been there, and I would put it this way. I would love to, because I have family over there too. But
I do. I thought you're Italian too.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, when it comes to like going like overseas to foreign countries, like I'm like a big like baby. Like I'm petrified. I don't know why. I just am.
Well, actually, it was better going overseas. I mean, they kind of treat you nicer. It's like when it's a little different now. In the past year or so, more stuff happened over there. But basically, you know, it means the flights are better, bigger planes they put you on, and it was pretty easy going to Italy. It wasn't like, you know, huge, like, they weren't really, really strict. Like come back to Italy was it was like crazy, like customs, waiting in the huge lines of customs and getting your passports.
Right.
That was the worst part of the whole trip, is coming back and missing your flights because you have to stay for like 3 hours or 3 or 4 hours in line at Philadelphia Airport, and like, you know, there's a couple guys behind the desk that don't want to be there, like,
right,
or, like, stamping their passports, and like people are just going, you know, crazy in line, and they're missing their flights. So that was the worst part of the trip, is coming back to here and like going through that. No, really, it was really, I mean, it's just like, yeah, but basically, I mean, people are really friendly, like, in Europe. You get lost, you know, and I visited I was actually going to one of my mom's relatives, and we got lost to, you know, the crappy GPS we had on the car. And we stopped and asked this guy for directions, and he couldn't speak English, so he called his son in Milan to translate. And he called my cousin to meet us where we were. He stood there for like an hour waiting for my cousin to get there. Yeah, it's amazing. It's like, it wouldn't happen in the U.S. to be like,
I was just
going to
say, that would not happen here.
No, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, ask the other guy. But, yeah, so it's nice. You know, great food, and people are friendly, and nice sights. And I actually get some good respect over there. Like, I write for a magazine called Axe Magazine. I have my own monthly column, guitar column, each month. It's called Shred Italia. And they've been great. I've been in there the past few years now. And also another magazine, Guitar Club Magazine. I've done written lessons for them as well, and they've done big features on me. And this October they're doing a big feature on the album, and have a lesson in there, and they're doing a write-up on the album. It's going to be great in October for that. So they've been really, really supportive. I'm kind
That's
of
awesome.
Amazed. And my name's on the cover of the magazine. It's like, holy shit, it's like, you know, it's tougher in the U.S. So basically, they've been good to me over there.
That's nice. That's awesome.
Yes.
Now, do you get to do like guitar clinics a lot, like going around doing them?
Yeah, I do. I've done it for years. Like mostly in the United States. We're planning some more in other countries. Like my management is working on some stuff for me in different places. We'll see how it turns out. But yeah, there's I've done it mainly in the United States for years, just like, you know, in different areas. And some it's kind of fun to do as well as the performing. But, yeah, so the focus has been on overseas. So we'll see how it turns out. I take things day by day.
Sure, you know, absolutely.
Like, things like just pop up and, you know, just...
You never know what's going to happen day to day.
Yeah, it's not as easy as it was because of the internet, because of the YouTube, and there's a lot of lessons online, so it's a little bit trickier these days.
Right. Now, how about you be doing any touring for the album at all, or...?
Well, the thing is, there was supposed to be a tour, like, coming up for two other bands besides me, my management put together. I think it's on hold at the moment, but they're working on other things for me in the fall, late fall. I'm doing some stuff in New York. Not for a little while, though, because I was planning on doing the tour we had scheduled, but it's on hold at the moment, and they're working on other things for me, like the late fall time, so we gotta hear back from that yet. Plus, I'm working on stuff myself right now as we speak. So
cool.
It's a little bit of delay right now. The late fall, there's stuff planning, and the focus is mainly overseas, because I've been doing U.S. stuff for a long time, so that's been the primary thing. So we'll see what happens with that. It could shift different ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. But,
cool.
Yeah, basically for that, you know, you can check the website. I usually put things up there when as they happen.
Nice.
So,
cool. And the website
is MikeCampese.com.
There you go.
You're East Coast.
And what was
right?
that?
You're East Coast as well?
Yeah,
you're
I'm in
East
Philly.
Coast. Yeah. Oh, awesome. I like Philly. Pennsylvania is a really great. It's really clean. It's more clean than New York is.
Yeah, I'll give it that. I'll definitely give it that.
I mean,
now,
you're in the cold
lot,
weather here. What's that?
Yeah. Have you come down to Philly a lot?
I played there a few, tons of times. I played, you know, at Temple College. I did, we played this Crocodile Rock. Well, not Philadelphia. That was kind of in Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's Lancaster.
Allentown?
Yeah, Allentown.
Played Allentown. I've done stuff in Philly a couple of times. Some outdoor things. Not recently though, but I remember driving through Philly and go, "Wow, this is like there's no garbage. It's clean. It's like, you know." Then you get to New York and saw it's all messed up. But the East Coast is just too cold. I mean, not in the summertime, but in the wintertime, it's just like, I don't know. The East Coast just sometimes
yeah.
it's still too much. I'm sure you,
definitely,
you know,
definitely.
have your things about the weather and stuff. But this year it was actually pretty mild. But this year coming up, who knows what's going to happen with the snow and stuff. But
yeah, exactly,
that usually that can affect touring stuff too. That's why like I usually like California. I do some stuff at the NAMM show every year too with that, and there's some stuff in New York I'm doing December, New Year's, things like that. I always do that stuff
oh, cool.
every year.
Yeah, you got to keep me updated. Keep us updated so we can spread the word for you.
Definitely. Are you, I have to, because we're on the same, we're on Facebook together.
Yes.
And I get all your emails, which are great. You have a lot of great guests on your show.
Thanks.
I'm like, wow.
Like you.
Okay, that's me. thanks a lot. What was I going to say? Yeah, I get your stuff.
Cool. Very cool.
I have to put you in the mail
list. Yeah. We'll have to know when you're coming down to Philly. I have to get you down here to Philly.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, well, definitely, yeah. I have to get the right show, the right the right venues, and that'd be fun.
Absolutely.
If you hear certain things, let me know, too.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I just made the decision last week that I'm going to start venturing in the promotion of shows and all with bands and everything.
Oh,
so.
Really? Oh, yeah, we should do a show together.
That's what I'm going to start doing, so.
Oh, awesome.
We'll have to talk.
Is it, like, just different clubs in the area or just...
Yeah, that's actually, that's what I was doing the past week is reaching out to different clubs and seeing what clubs I can get into and start doing some shows.
The Crocodile Rock was pretty cool. It had a downstairs, upstairs. That wasn't a bad place.
Yeah,
cool.
I was there. I think I've been there just once, but it was definitely a cool place.
Yeah, that was neat. Been a while since I played in the Philly area, so I don't know what the recent clubs are like now.
The crazy thing is, it changes. It constantly changes.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of tribute bands and stuff like that. And
yeah, exactly.
Cover bands. It's seen change a lot. There's a lot of cover bands, more cover bands these days, and tribute bands.
That seems to be the big thing now, tribute bands.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's good or bad, but basically.
Yeah.
It's almost like I think it's bad. I mean, it's good and it's bad. It's good that, like, these bands are covering older music, but, like, people don't want to hear anything new anymore. They wouldn't
right.
hear stuff that they heard before, which kind of, I mean, if it's not the actual band, it's like, who would want to hear somebody
right.
cover the band? If the band's not together anymore, you see like a Zeppelin tribute might be cool or something like that, but, you know, some of these bands are still touring, and there's tribute bands for those bands. But
that's the one I don't get, but hey, who am I to say, I guess? I don't know.
But
it
actually,
seems to be working.
I guess it does. It brings people in, so the bars are happy. They're making their money and stuff, so I guess, you know. But to me, it's easy. Like, it's easier. It's like, I think it's much harder to create your own music than,
oh, sure.
you know, to sit down and like, oh, that sounds great. Let's cover it.
Right.
So that's always been a challenge. I've been offered a lot of tribute bands and cover bands over the years, and I never really took them. I mean, only if I really had to, but I wouldn't be happy doing it.
Right.
Just maybe as a fun, like a couple shows, but I wouldn't be for full time. I couldn't do that. It'd be tough.
But now, have any other like national bands like contacted you to come in?
At the moment, no. But I'm always on lookout for being a sideman. And at the moment, no. I've been so wrapped up in usually I might look for different auditions. But I've been wrapped up with the album and stuff like that. But I'd like to do some side work stuff too as well. So I've been
oh, cool.
I keep an eye out for that stuff too. Definitely in the future and plan, I would definitely like to do that. I mean, the thing on the top of that is you got to make sure you have something where you don't interfere with your own stuff. If you have shows lined up and you have another
right.
band that wants you to do stuff. I do a lot of recording stuff, though, for people. Like, people
oh, cool.
send me stuff to play solos on in different, countries or whatever. I'll do like studio work. I'll put guitar tracks down for them. And that I've been doing kind of lately.
Nice. Very nice.
I'm in the studio a lot. If I'm not performing, I'm in the studio working on it. I've been working on a new album, too, for 2017 for the spring. A new stuff, which is going to be totally different than that last one.
Wow.
It's going to be... Yeah,
you're not wasting
like,
any time.
No, I gotta... Because the acoustic stuff is like in between albums, basically.
Okay.
It's kind of like my main albums are the electric ones, So that I've been working on that kind of stuff recently. So any downtime that I have, that's what I do. I work on new songs.
Nice.
So, yeah, I do a lot of stuff myself, so it does take time. I do all the recording myself and do all the instruments and. So.
Wow.
Tedious.
Tedious, but
so,
fun.
Yeah, it's got to be fun.
Absolutely.
I've gotten better
cool.
over
so
the years.
I was going to say, where can everybody get chapters and all your other music at?
Basically, off the website. It's on all the download sites, iTunes, it's Amazon. If you're overseas, my record label has chapters. They're selling off their website. Into the Limelight. They have the online store. And if you buy over there, you'll have to pay for shipping and things like that. Because the shipping is insane.
Sure.
Overseas. Yeah, it's gotten worse. But mainly right now, website, downloads, Amazon, and eventually the other places. It's not a lot of stores at the moment, but I'm gonna get it. Getting back in some stores again. Probably the new album. But right now, just online mainly. That's basically
cool.
where people... These days, not like it was. Like, you walk in a record store, you walk up to get the album. It's not like it used to be. So I've had it in Transworld places, FYE, like that. But right now, I'm just doing it, online and, download stuff.
Right. Cool.
But,
very cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like,
well.
Sorry.
I was going to say this has been great catching up and.
Yeah, definitely.
We're gonna. What song should we play? You pick a song. What song would you like us to play for you?
I've had one tune. Probably the second track. You Take My Breath Away.
The one you sing.
That one. Yes. Yeah, that one, I like how that one came out. I mean, I like as well as the album, as well. But that one, and also, if I had a second choice, if they wanted to hear acoustic, I would say Roman the Colosseum.
Cool.
Yeah, those are some of my favorite ones on there. Riding the Mouthy Coast. Have you heard the whole album?
I have not.
Okay. Yeah, to get a chance to check it out. I mean,
yeah, I'll play those two, and then I'll pick one myself once I listen to the whole thing.
All right, awesome.
So
we'll
play
yeah,
free throw.
Are you going to play those? When do you play? Like, when do you air this?
I'm going to air this on Sunday night.
All right, Sunday night, because I'll post it on my social media.
Yeah,
and
I'll
you
send you all the stuff, and yeah, absolutely.
And you'll play like the songs the same night, or you play them in random times?
No, I'll play them right all with the interview.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it was great. I was actually, when Scott sent the message, like, oh, awesome. I love your show because you have so many great guests on there and stuff. And I was like, oh, cool,
thanks.
Day. you play guitar. You play guitar too, right?
You know, I guess I can say I kind of do, but I haven't physically picked up guitar in so long. They like just sit there and hang on my wall.
Oh, because I know I saw a picture of a guitar in the background. I was like,
yeah,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so I have a wall of guitars. I think I got like six guitars, seven guitars.
Well, that's great.
And
it's
kind of funny, actually, it was just last week, my wife said, do you think you can maybe sell at least one or two
of
them? I'm like, no, not at all.
Yeah, you're attached to it. It's like, it's hard to sell. I haven't sold any in a long time. I keep all the guitars. I've only sold, like, probably one guitar. Yeah, I feel guilty.
How many do you have?
I got about 30 guitars. Not that many, but like 30. I don't play all those. But a lot of them are like rare guitars, and like a lot of them are like custom guitars and handmade.
Nice.
And there's a couple ones that I could probably get rid of, though, but that's about it. Probably one or maybe one out of all of them. But a lot of them are older, and there's some newer ones. But they have a lot of guitars. Like
that's awesome.
I mean, I kind of want to get some more, but not at the moment. I just got one like last year, a new one. So it's the ones I get aren't you know, not too cheap. They're handmade guitars. So I mean,
especially stuff like that, like you can't get rid of. Yeah, I mean, if it's something that you just don't truly like, then that's one thing.
Oh,
but,
yeah. It's only, like maybe one guitar I don't like, but it's actually my car guitar. Like, I bought it for, like, the car. I bought it to, like, throw in the car or something like that. That's the only guitar I probably would get rid of. And even
so,
that,
wait, you have
a
car guitar, which I guess you mean you sit and play in the car or something while you're waiting or something?
I used to have a guitar, basically a guitar I can just throw in the car. But the guitar... The guitar now, like, I'm more of a Strat-style kind of guitar player. This guitar is more of almost like a, not Les Paul, but it has that similar kind of style, so I'm probably due for a new car guitar. I originally bought it for that, just like, you know, throw it, you know, if it's, you know, -0, you know, -15 or something, it could be in the car, and or if it gets stolen, I wouldn't really care. Those kind of guitars. Everybody has one of those guitars like that where it's just like, but I do have a travel guitar that I have that's different. It's acoustic though, but that I'll take on trains and things like that. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, as you get playing for a long time, you kind of start collecting some stuff. But yeah, I play them. I do put them on albums. I do mix it up with it, so it's like they are being played, not like I'm not collecting them, just like they have all different sounds. So.
Yeah, each guitar's got a different sound to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely does. So that's, I use them for recording. But I might only use a couple live. You might only see me with a couple guitars live, but on the album, there's mixed up and things like that. So, yeah.
Cool.
That's, yeah. Awesome,
thanks,
man.
Awesome. Well, Mike, this was great catching up, like I said, and
got
to do it again,
too,
and we got to... when you're coming to Philly.
Yeah, definitely. We'll talk, and then we'll definitely, it'll be great to meet in person, and
absolutely,
we'll do a show together. I'm pretty close to Philly. I'm like 4.5 hours away from you.
Okay.
So it'll be a nice trip sometime to go down and do a couple of shows or a show, whatever, and yeah, we'll meet up and
yeah, do some cheesesteaks.
Yeah, definitely. Oh yeah,
cool.
Yeah, Philly cheese. That's right, Philly's known for
very
that.
Very cool. Sounds
awesome.
Good.
Awesome.
All right,
yeah,
Mike. Yeah, I'll send myself over to you. And,
sorry for
yeah.
babbling on, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the interview. I'm gonna I'll share it on my social media and
awesome.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Cool. Very cool. Absolutely. All right, Mike. Take care, man.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. All right.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I don't know.
welcome back. Tilly Jim Radio, Bay Ragney here. And there you go, some new music off Mike's new album out there, Chapters. And we played. First off, we played You Take My Breath Away, which actually he sings on. Then we played Roaming the Coliseum. And we just played... And the last song was Quake of Laviano. So, real quick, second commercial break, last commercial break. We only have two. We do two per show. So I'm going to bang that one out, check out our sponsors. And on the flip side, we'll be returning with country singer from the Great White North, Mike Lovatt. So stay tuned.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes' native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs.
Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, welcome back. Totally Driven Radio, Bay Ragney here, and it's time for our next interview. Let's get right to it. Let's welcome to Totally Driven Radio, Mr. Jim Lovatt. Jim.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, not bad. Not bad at all.
Good. Now, is it Jim Lovatt or is it different pronouncing?
Yeah, Lovatt. Lovatt. That's close. Yeah. How you said it there, yeah.
Gotcha. Cool. So now, this is really surprising as I go through and read your bio. You know, being from Canada, you grew up choosing guitar over playing hockey, which is a true rarity.
Yeah, believe it or not, I did. I played 1 year of hockey, and then I decided the guitar was my thing, and all my buddies were stuck to the sports, and I turned to music, so it was kind of a solitary thing, eh?
Now,
Instead of being on a team, I was by myself.
Yeah, like, did your friends think, like, wow, like, what's up with him? Like, he doesn't want to play hockey.
Well, at first they kind of did, and then as I started to progress on the guitar and get fairly good at it, they all thought it was pretty cool, and I even had a couple of them wanting to or try to pick up instruments, you know, pick up the bass and different things. And so kind of got them into it too a little bit.
Cool. Now, was there like any, was there a musical artist that really drew you to music over hockey?
Back then I really liked Led Zeppelin. So I think it was Jimmy Page that got me really one on the guitar. The first time I heard a whole lot of Love and Heartbreak with that solo thing he does, I was kind of hooked on it.
That's awesome. Now, how about your parents? Were your parents supportive in the musical direction that you were going in?
Kind of. My mother bought me my first guitar. My brother was a drummer, so you know what that's like. So he terrorized the neighborhood for probably 5 years. Just, we had this old attic in our house. I'd get up there and all the windows would be cranked up because it was an unheated space, and we'd get wailing away. And I'm pretty sure the neighbors weren't too impressed with it, but we'd go sometimes, you know, 11 o'clock, midnight, we're out there playing and going on. And we had a few complaints, but my mother was always pretty good with it.
That's great. Because, you know, I grew up playing guitar myself, and for years, like, I started when I was young, and then I dropped it for a few years because of sports, and then I went back to it around 12, 13 years old. And my mom always hoped it was a phase. Like, she was not, like, happy about my choice at all.
Yeah, it really changed when you start playing in it does change when you start playing in bars and whatnot, eh? Because, you know, we started playing at bars when we were underage. Like, I played with some older guys back then, and I was underage, and, you know, you'd almost be snuck in and, you know, make sure that guy doesn't drink and this and that and the other thing. And my brother was the same
way.
He actually started playing before I did. He was, like, 15 or 14 years old in playing in clubs and stuff and playing to a bunch of 20 and 30 and 40-year-old people. So that was a little different. That's when, you know, they start looking, you know, do you really need to be hanging out in a bar till 1 a.m. or whatever, playing in a band? That's when they kind of start second guessing what you're doing.
Right. Now, I also saw that, now you wrote your first song at 9 years old. Now, like I said, like I started playing around that same age, like 7, 8, 9, and nothing I thought I was writing was anywhere near good.
Terrible. Brutal. I didn't even know how to play the guitar when I first picked it up at 9 years old. But then the first thing that seemed to happen was I write this terrible original song. I remember what it was. I do remember it, but I wouldn't even talk about it. It was so bad. But for some reason, before I even knew how to play or play properly, I could play a few chords and whatnot. I started coming up with original ideas and stuff, and looking back, I think that was kind of strange, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because you probably were thinking, you know, I'm going to become Jimmy Page, and here you are starting to play with your own, putting together your own stuff.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Now, did you, and I was thinking of this too as I was going through, you know, putting some questions together for you. I was like, I wonder if you ever thought about, like, going back, like, you said you kind of remember that song. If you ever thought about going back now and, like, reworking it?
No. It was bad enough that I don't think there's any reworking it. I've even got a couple, talking about original songs. Like, I go back to some of my original releases. I think first was in the 90s when we put out, actually, our first one was pretty good. We used a really good recording studio in Toronto, Canada, and it turned out great. But our next CD, we kind of rushed it. A couple of the band members were moving away, and we threw it together. I can't even listen to that one right now. I just find it awful. So there's even a lot of stuff I did later in years that I just can't listen to anymore, too.
Wow. It's, you know, but I hear a lot of musicians say that a lot, though, about, like, their older stuff, that they just can't go and listen to it.
Yeah, and I listen to some bands say it, and I go back and listen to their older stuff, and I think it's great. I think with a lot of guys, it was maybe more tired of it than it actually been bad. But I think some of my older stuff was actually bad, so that's why I don't want to listen to it.
Yeah, that's understandable. Now,
yep. Nope, no problem.
So, Also, too, I saw that you were, like, were in a bad car accident.
Yeah, in 2013, we were, my whole family, we were coming home from Kingston, Ontario, and a guy ran a red light and hit us in the intersection, and I was laid up for quite a while. Still am, actually, a little bit, so I'm not working anymore for a while anyway, so I'm doing the relaunched my second music career, I guess you would say. I've always played and I've always wrote songs. I've always recorded in my studio, but running a business, my time was limited, but I've got a little more time to do it. So that's what I've been spending my time at now.
Wow. So, I mean, you've really been able to put your, like, you know, time and heart and everything into it now. How are you, like, much happier doing this, I would imagine, than running a business?
I guess if you had the financial rewards of running a business, but yet you could do this too, yeah, it'd be great. But of course, with not running the business, then you just don't have the extra income that you'd like to have. But I really enjoy doing this. It's great to be able to spend my time, as much time as I have doing this. It's really good.
Now, was there anything that made you or, like, kind of inspired you to say, you know what, like, kind of, like, screw it. Like, I'm going to, like, really pursue and go after this musical thing.
Yeah, well, actually, it was a couple of therapists I was seeing. So I've had a couple of concussions over my life, and I had a bad one in this car accident. So, you know, I could barely I was sleeping for the first 3, 4, 6 months, even I'm sleeping like 12, 18 hours a day. I just, you know, I'd get out of bed and I'd go out, sit in a lawn chair outside with family and friends, and I'd fall asleep in the chair, and, you know, it was brutal, and my thinking was off, and just everything was just off with me. So, like one of the therapists I was seeing over the concussion, she knew I was interested in music and played music. And she said, the best thing you could do right now is get back into your music. And you know, it's good therapy. It's good for your mind. It's good for everything. So that's what I did, and it worked out probably to be the best decision I ever made in my life.
That's awesome. Did you say to her when she said that, like, really? Thank you. Okay.
Well, I kind of did at first, but I've heard that, I guess, over the years, I've heard all different kinds of music therapy for, like, especially brain injuries. People, they say it's a great thing, music, even listening to music. It's soothing and it's, you know, it's comforting. And but my end of it now with recording and stuff, it was a pretty good challenge to get back after being, at least probably a year that I didn't even touch my guitars and stuff. So I had to get back into it again. You know, it was quite a challenge to start again. I had a hard time playing my guitar at first too, over everything, because my right hand and my left hand just weren't quite jiving together the way that they were supposed to. So it took me months just to get that back sorted out. So it was a load.
Oh, wow. So now how are you today with the injuries and all? You're doing better, I would hope.
Yeah, pretty good. We've done a few live shows, and I bought a new iPad, and I attach it to my mic stand just in case I need any kind of cueing and stuff. But it's been going well, and we've done about half a dozen live shows, so they went really well. We've had a couple of sold-out shows and stuff, so that was a big challenge. It was pretty nerve-wracking getting back up playing live again, for sure, but now that I'm doing it, it's just like it was, you know, 10 years ago kind of thing.
That's awesome. So now you're putting together, I guess it's an album you're putting together?
Yep. Yeah, I'm not sure how many songs are going to be on it yet. I think I've got probably a dozen or so in all different stages of being complete, like right from fully done, ready to be mixed to actually I'm working on a lead vocal on one right now. So I called you in between it. So, and then there's various stages of songs to be done. Once they're done and mixed, I'll decide what's going to go on the full album, what's not. It may end up only being 6 songs. It depends on how I like them, how they turn out, and what I'm happy with, I guess.
Do you have any time frame on that, or when you think it'll be done?
Oh, I'd like to see it done sooner than later. it's getting, like I say, it's close now, but I tend to spend a little more time than I should on songs, probably. get a little particular here and there, and then I end up spending a lot more time than I should. But I'd like to see in the next 6 weeks or so have it finished.
Nice. That would be awesome.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you have the first single, which you've, I guess, is it actually released now?
Yep.
This Ain't My Day?
Yeah, it's been doing quite well. It's quite a radio hit in the U.S. and not much here in Canada, but it's supposed to be southern U.S. states going to be playing quite a bit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
very
yeah,
cool.
So, yeah, it is. So it's been going well, and trying to get a little bit of extra promotion up here where I'm from, so get it off to some local radio and stuff. I haven't even done that yet. I've just been so busy with working on the rest of the new songs. I haven't had a whole lot of time to do a bunch of promotion with it.
Wow. Now did I read this right? Are you playing all the instruments on this?
Yep. I play all the instruments. Plus I record and an engineer and produce too, so that's what takes me the time. Hey, I'm starting right from the drum tracks, and there are various things, or excuse me, samples, some live drums, samples, different things, and then I get the drums done, and then I have to start layering the instruments, of course, and then the last thing I do is I lay the vocals on it, and then I'm mixing it and whatnot as I'm going, so there's a bit of time involved. It used to be a lot faster when we went in as a whole band and got our bed tracks down all together and then just put your other overdubs over top. So this takes a little more time for sure.
So, this is truly a solo project.
Yeah, it is for sure. Yeah. I don't know how it ever happened. It just was one of those things that kind of progressed into this, and more from in the past, a need to, like, I'd be looking for something to put these. And whoever wanted it maybe was out somewhere or the other side of the country or wherever they might have been. So I thought instead of waiting, which I used to do, I just started picking it up myself and down. And same thing with little keyboard parts or whatever. If instead of waiting on somebody, waiting around for them for sometimes weeks to, and it just delay things, I just start doing it myself. And then it got to be a habit, and I just started to, but I do now, and I really enjoy doing it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this way it's truly the way you want it. You're not depending on anybody else.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes it's a downfall that a second or third set of ears really is, sometimes can be a good thing, especially when I'm doing a lead vocal or something, because like I may do something that's pretty good and I think it's garbage, where if somebody was here to go, oh, no, that sounds great, leave it, so I'm a little particular with the things. I end up doing many times to get them 100% right when they might have been right before.
Yeah, but I mean, that's one thing. And I guess it would be kind of like hard to ask somebody to, you know, to give input. It's almost like putting them on the spot.
Yeah, there's another studio in my town. He's pretty well equipped. He's
Jimmy there?
Got you.
Oh, there you are. There you are. It sounded like an alien for.
Yeah, Darth Vader or somebody on there.
Yeah.
But we're back.
Cool.
What that was.
So where can everybody find you and keep up to date with you and get the new single?
Probably the best place, right? Well, the single is pretty much everywhere. It's on iTunes, Spotify, all the major online retailers have it. My website is my main source right now. It's jimlevatt.com, and I'll be posting any of our live shows and different things and new events and stuff as they come up on there. So that's probably, if they want the signal, they can go to any of the major retailers. It's also on my website for a review if somebody wanted to give it a spin.
Cool. Now, how about any possible plans to do any little touring in the future at all, too? Or
yeah, we're talking about that right now. So, like I say, we've done probably up to half a dozen live shows now, just kind of get the bugs out. Some of the guys I'm playing with, I played with for, you know, years, and there's a guitar player I'm playing with. I just started playing with him, and so we're getting a few of the bugs out. Things have been going really well, and then we're going to decide where we're going and what shows we're doing. There's a couple pretty big things hopefully lining up for the spring of next year, which will be good. We're just kind of keeping our fingers crossed on the one. It's a pretty good show, and it lasts for six weeks or so, and it goes from town to town type of thing. So we're hoping on that one to pan out, and we'll see how it goes from there. But yeah, I'm going to keep live dates and stuff on my website as they come up.
Great. Cool. Well, this has been great talking with you, Jim. It was great to get to know you. And
yeah, you too. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's great.
And I'm going to play the single for everybody, and hopefully we'll get down to the Philadelphia area at some point.
Yeah, that'd be really good. That's what we're hoping for.
Great. All right, Jim, take care and keep that music coming, my friend.
Okay, thanks for having me.
You got it. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Walk a straight line home to you. So you came to me. You said, where you go? Where you been? Well, I don't know where to begin. All I know is I've been there before. Well, I had a little Jack, a little gin, a little ice, a lot of sin. I mixed it up and took it down. Well, then I headed out to paint this town. Well, song cliche. When I lost my woman, she took my doll. My pickup truck is dead and gone. Caught out in the rain. This ain't my day. Well, you got your law, you got your disorder. A thin line and a walk on the border. Well, straight away now. He said, you got the right to keep your mouth shut. Turn around and get those hands up. You walk a straight line, I might set you free. Well, I had a little Jack, a little gin, a little ice, a lot of sin. I mixed it up and took it down. Well, then I headed out to paint this town. Well, all I know, well, that's safe to say. My life is a honky-tonkin' song cliche. When I lost my woman, she took my doll. My pickup truck is dead and gone. Caught out in the rain. This ain't my day. Should have stayed in bed. Maybe went to work. Well, had enough bad luck. Trying to keep my head up. Getting hurt, but I can't give up. Better days are not.
Welcome back to Totally Jim Radio, and there he is, Mr. Jim Levant, and we just played his brand new single, his latest release, called This Ain't My Day, so check that out. You can also check him out at his website, and I want to thank both him and Mike for being guests on Totally Jim Radio, and make sure you check them out, support all music, support it, go buy it, go check them out. they come to your town, don't, like, steal the music. Buy it. Help them out. They're giving us quality, great, enjoyable music to listen to. It's the least you can do. On that note, thanks again for everybody for tuning in this week. Coming up this Thursday on our next show, we have Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern. We have one of the stars of Rob Zombie's latest movie, 31, Miss E.G. Daly. And also another old friend returning, which we haven't talked to in like almost 2 years, comedian Roy Wood Jr. So everybody, until Thursday, you know what to do. If you don't know what to do, I'm going to tell you right now. Stay driven. See ya.